You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Iraq is committed. This is the Quality News Network. Iraq is commemorating today the toppling of the Saddam Hussein regime. Tens of thousands of Shia are demonstrated in Najaf, protesting the presence of U.S. and other foreign soldiers on Iraqi soil. Security is tight in Baghdad. There are 24-hour ban on all vehicles in the capital city starting this morning. The Pentagon announced 10 U.S. soldiers were killed over the weekend, six of them on Sunday. Sectarian violence in the past 2 days killed 65 Iraqis and wounded another 29. Seven NATO Canadian soldiers were killed yesterday in separate incidents in Afghanistan. Three others were wounded. In addition, an Afghan translator and journalist was beheaded Sunday. He was captured and traveling with an Italian reporter who was kidnapped and later released. In Tehran, the chief nuclear envoy said today his country is ready to engage in serious negotiations on its program to enrich uranium. The West insists Iran prove its aims are peaceful before the country is allowed to continue its nuclear development. In Seoul, an American delegation today was told U.N. inspectors would be permitted to visit North Korea's nuclear facilities as soon as the U.S. returns 25 million North Korean funds frozen in a Macau bank. A February agreement calls on Pyongyang to shut down its main reactor by Saturday. One of the eight U.S. attorneys fired by the Bush administration has filed a complaint with an independent government agency. New Mexican David Englesque says he was fired because he spent too much time on duty with the Naval Reserve. Federal law bars employers from punishing workers for participation in the National Guard or Reserve. President Bush is visiting the Southwest to lobby for a new guest worker program for illegal immigrants. The president is calling for an immigration pact with Congress no later than August. In Washington, the U.S. Senate focuses this week on stem cell legislation, considering two bills on the issue. President Bush vetoed a stem cell measure last year. Cartoonist Johnny Hart, who created BC, has died of a stroke in his New York home. He was 76. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to RightCarRightPrice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to RightCarRightPrice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Kazakhstan has been given a $68 million World Bank loan to help save the Aral Sea, once the fourth largest inland body of water in the world. The sea is vanishing, and the U.S. has characterized it as the world's worst man-made environmental disaster. The 8-point earthquake last Monday in the Solomon Islands has raised one of the islands 10 feet from the sea, destroying some of the most pristine coral reefs in the world. The exposed reefs are now dying, marine life rotting in the air. The area most affected has yet to be reached by relief workers. Citibank will acquire Taiwan's Bank of Overseas Chinese. The deal is valued at $426 million. The White House says it will take formal legal action in the World Trade Organization this week against China. The U.S. is accusing China of unfair trade practices for its policy of pirating American music, software, and films. Japan's second-largest mobile provider, KDDI, is introducing its brand in the U.S., targeting customers with Japanese language input and other services familiar to Japanese customers in America. The company is renting a network from Sprint Nextel. Light sweet crude is trading at $63.74 a barrel. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, everybody, wake the hell up. It's Joe Vecchio. It's time to start another week here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show on the Head On Radio Network. How are you all doing today? Get up, get up. 1, 2, 1, 2. Do your aerobics. Do your calisthenics. Get up there. Get some. Get your blood moving. Get your blood. You, I see your blood standing still over there. I see it. Get it moving. Pump it out. Hit that chest if you have to. Pretend you're that guy from that Saturday Night Live sketch, Chris Farley, having that heart attack, the Bears fan, eating all them ribs. Ooh, I hurt myself. Never strike yourself in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. That's never a good sign. How is everybody doing today? It is Monday, and it is time once again for the Cup of Joe Radio Show. And it was an interesting... It was Easter weekend, and I had actually kind of forgotten about that. And the truth of the matter is, it just doesn't mean what it used to mean to me. Actually, I don't think it ever really meant anything much to me, except for when I was a kid coloring the Easter eggs. I grew up in a Catholic family, and as I'm fond of saying, Catholicism tends to breed agnostics and atheists. And so Easter is really not a big deal to me. In fact, I almost wound up working on Sunday. We had a big job come in on Friday. Oh, excuse me. We had a big job come in on Friday, and I thought it would continue on over the weekend, and I'd have some work on Sunday. But they gave me a call on Saturday and said, well, we kind of finished it all today. Anyway. But yeah, it was Easter Sunday, and I didn't do a damn thing yesterday. I stayed home and I watched the ball game on TV, the White Sox game. I don't really care for American League Baseball, but, you know, a baseball game is a baseball game. And I cooked some soup and basically lazed around the house all day. Didn't do much online, just kind of goofed around watching TV and relaxing. And you know what? That's perfectly all right. If I had been working Sunday, I would have had to get up at 4:30 in the morning anyway, so I'm actually kind of glad I did. I have enough of a problem getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning just to do this show. I am not. I have said it before, and I will say it again. I am not a morning person. I never have been, and I never will be. And that's just that. Some people are morning people. Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com. She is a morning person. She is not the annoying type of morning person, like, you know, I am a morning person and I wake up with the dew, pow, pow. No, she's not like that. She just likes to get up in the morning. Me? No. You know, as far as I'm concerned, anything before noon is too damn early. It's too damn early. Anyway. You know, I read the... I'm up late, which is one of the reasons why I'm not a morning person, and I tend to be up late regardless of how early I've gotten up in the morning. But if you stay up until like midnight or so, you get to read the New York Times headlines before you know, the morning. I mean, the editorials and stuff first really appear around midnight East time, about 11 o'clock my time. So I get to read all this stuff, and if I feel so obliged to do so, I can make a post about it. But I haven't been posting a whole lot on my blog lately, and really, it doesn't matter. I mean, I get about 100 hits a day, and that's all I'm ever really going to get. But at any rate, I caught Paul Krugman's article today, which was a very good one, and it's a subject that we blogs have been talking about for quite some time. And Krugman's been echoing that, and I'm glad for that, because he does reach a bigger audience than some of the blogs do. But the title of the column is "Sweet Little Lies," and it talks about how the Republican Party will just plant stories, little tiny lies, to set a tone for a campaign. We saw it with Al Gore. We're seeing it with Barack Obama. You know, they've been doing with Bill and Hillary Clinton for ages. I mean, I was hearing really crazy stuff about them, you know, way back when they first started running, and it's like, you know, why do these people hate Clinton and Bill and Hillary Clinton so much? It was really mind-boggling at the time, and it was one of my first awakenings in political awareness when I was really started to get informed about what was going on. And almost immediately, the first thing I discovered was that Republicans are a-holes. You know, no matter what their political beliefs are, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, you know, they're just a-holes. They are the meanest, nastiest people. And I mean, you know, I met some liberal guys that are, you know, really, really kind of snotty. You know, some of the really rich liberals that are just kind of snotty and, like, you know, have a sense of noblesse oblige. You know, we feel, but Republicans, man, oh man, there is no lie, there is nothing they will not stoop to make themselves look good at someone else's expense. And all the stuff that they said about Clinton, I mean, even the day after Clinton got elected, I was seeing bumper stickers saying, well, maybe not the day after, but very briefly after I got elected, after Clinton got elected, they had bumper stickers out that said, impeach Clinton. They would never give him a chance. And it's the same with any Democrat at this point. That's why, you know, all the people bitching about, well, Al Gore didn't run a good campaign, or, you know, John Kerry didn't run a good campaign. You know what? No Democrat was going to escape the kind of notice that the Republican hate machine has. And the big reason they get away with it, of course, is the so-called professional media simply allows them to, by echoing the right-wing talking points. Let me read some of the article here, because Krugman is talking about the difference between small lies and big lies. And he talked about the power of the little lies. It's a small accusation invented out of thin air, followed by another and another and another. Little lies aren't meant to have staying power. Instead, they create a sort of background hum, a sense that the person facing all these accusations must have done something wrong. For a long time, basically from 9/11 till the last remnants of Bush's credibility drowned in New Orleans, the Bush administration was able to go big on its deceptions. Most people found it inconceivable that an American president would, for example, assert without evidence that Saddam and Al-Qaeda were allies. Mr. Bush won the 2004 election because a bunch of voters still couldn't believe he would grossly mislead them on matters of national security. And again, that's part of them laying the foundation, ladies and gentlemen. This is back to me and not Mr. Krugman again. That's part of laying the foundation, because they've kind of laid that foundation. You know, Mr. Bush, you know, bringing honor and dignity back to the White House. The grown-ups are in charge and all that stuff. And of course, but the big lies don't work as easily anymore in this day and age, because now they've been called on it, and people know they're full of crap. But the little lies, they hang on. And Krugman goes on to talk about how they're dealing with Nancy Pelosi. And you know what? I'm going to continue this after our Beatles break, because I just noticed the clock that we are heading into a Beatles break. So let's go ahead and take a break, and I will continue on with this thread after that. If you want to call in and give me a call and talk to me about this, the number to call in is 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be back with more of the Cover Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the U.K., and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here in the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, if you want to call in, is 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And if you want to email me, you can send me an email at joe@cupjoe.com. And hey, you know, I haven't done this in a few days, so let me go ahead and do this now. We are, you know, working on getting investment, of course, for the Head On Radio Network. And the best way we can have of getting investment is to show how many listeners we have. So if you're listening to the show right now, I want you to take a second, and it only takes a second, and it doesn't cost you a penny. I want you to take a second to email me at joe@cupjoe.com, and all you have to do is write in the subject heading, I'm listening. You can write a little text if you want. That's fine. You don't have to. But if you do that, that way I get some emails, and I can show, hey, you know, these are the people listening to my show. And, of course, you know, it's the same for all the Head On stuff. So If you want to do that, that would be great. And I really, really want you to do that, to be perfectly honest. I really, really want you to do that. If you haven't done so far, I've gotten quite a few, and I'm very happy with the response I've got. But, of course, I'm never satisfied. More, more, more. I want more. So just do that. Just write an email to joe@cupjoe.com. Okay. Also, before I continue on, let me also mention my friends in the Head On Radio Network chat room, which is where I am every morning when I do the show, watching the people talk and sometimes responding to them. And you can get there by going to headonradionetwork.com and scrolling down a little bit, and to the right you'll see the chat room link, and just clicking on that, and you get to talk to some of the smartest people in the internets and all that. Anyway, to continue on what I was talking about, how Krugman was talking about how the Republicans used a little lie, and the mainstream media, how they, and I hate using that term, I call them the so-called professional media, they just kind of push along all these lies, and of course no Democrat has a real chance against it, and no Democrat is immune, as we've seen. I mean, they take a war hero like John Kerry. I mean, whatever you think of Kerry's political views or his abilities as a politician, you know, that's one thing. I mean, those are always legitimate issues. But when you start to say that he lied about his service record to get his medals, or that he didn't deserve his medals, that's just a bunch of crap. The man was a war hero, okay? The man was a war hero. But they've turned out against him. Max Cleland lost 3 limbs serving his country. And they took that strength and they turned it against him. And that's what Karl Rove does. That's a typical Karl Rove strategy right there. But anyway, the big thing is what they're talking about now, and what they're going crazy over, was Nancy Pelosi's trip to Syria and other places. Paul Krugman had to say. He said, now there's Ms. Pelosi's fact-finding trip. Oh, excuse me. She started, I said, first there were claims that the Speaker of the House had demanded a lavish plane for her trips back to California. One Republican leader denounced her arrogance of extravagance. Then when it became clear that the whole story was bogus, admitted that he had never seen any evidence. Now there's Ms. Pelosi's fact-finding trip to Syria, which Dick Cheney described as bad behavior. Unlike the visit to Syria by 3 Republican congressmen a few days earlier, or Newt Gingrich's trip to China when he was Speaker. Now, Ms. Pelosi has responded coolly, dismissing the administration's reactions as a tantrum. But it's more than just that. Her hysterical reaction to her, and it was a hysterical reaction, by the way. I never saw so many people go so nuts over my life over such a huge non-issue. And considering all the huge non-issues that they've been going in a rant about for quite some time, it's just remarkable that you just keep doing it. But then again, that's what you get from the mindless zombies of the right wing. Let's see. It gives those, their reactions like that, they give their little lies a time and a time. I mean, they scream it loud enough, and, people who kind of sort of pay attention to politics, at the very best, they think, well, they all suck. And that's just the type of attitude they're playing, because it still plays into their hands. If they can just destroy the idea of politics, the idea of self-rule, the idea of the type of government that we have, if they can just keep that in people's minds, then they benefit by it. Because these people hate the very idea of government. And the reason why they hate the very idea of government is because the federal government is the only institution that's powerful enough to stop their scams. I've said before, and I'll say again, there are essentially 3 types of people who vote Republican. There are the people who are in on the scam, there are the people who want to be in on the scam, and there are those who are not aware that they're being scammed. But make no doubt about it, this is a scam. It is a distinct and deliberate effort to rob you of your money and suck it all up into the highest levels of society as far as money is concerned. I'm saying it the wrong way, but you know what I'm talking about. I'm only a high school graduate, ladies and gentlemen. What can I say? The richest 1% of the country since the Republicans have begun their surge 25 or 30 years ago, since corporations started really throwing their money into the political process in a major way, the richest 1% of the country has gone from owning something along the lines of 8 to 10% to something like 23, 24%. I think it's more like 44, 45% of the wealth. That is, if you took a hundred, if you assume that the country had 100 people in it, that the 100 people represented the entire population of the country, and the entire wealth of the country was $100. One person, the richest one person in there, would have something like $40, $45, and everybody else would be sharing the rest. And the top 10 people would have something like $70. Did I say the top 10 people? The top 2 or 3 people. And everybody else would be fighting for scraps. And that's how, you know, and that's how the situation is economically today. It's just as bad as it was during the 1920s. And it's all aided by the little lie in conjunction with the big lie, because they set up a foundation. They were doing it earlier with Barack Obama. You know, talking about, you know, his middle name is Hussein. And you saw a little while ago, every time they put Obama's name on there, they put Barack Hussein Obama. And then, of course, there were those who intentionally misspelled his name to say Osama. Yeah, there was something. And then he went to a madrasa. And then even after it was debunked, they still keep saying it. And on top of that, and here they are after Pelosi. And this is what I got this from MakeThemAccountable.com. I'm on her mailing list. MakeThemAccountable.com has a daily mailing list. And if you go to her site, you can get on it. And she will send you very important news stories. And here are 1, 2, 3, 4 stories dealing directly with that issue. And here's the headlines of each one. Wall Street Journal op-ed attacking Pelosi basically asserts she may have committed a felony. Now, the Wall Street Journal, we know, has been a right-wing rag for as long as it's been, and probably at least as far as the editorials are concerned. Their news used to be really good. Now, from what I understand, it's almost as bad as the editorials. But here they're putting out, well, maybe she committed a felony. The next headline is the American media's fringe ideological view of Pelosi's trip. As it says in the thing, taking its cues from the Limbaugh-Cheney American Enterprise Institute faction, the world in which negotiating with a country like Syria is some sort of radical and highly controversial idea simply does not recognize how isolated and on the fringe the right-wing faction is. The cheap, artificial, mindless Charles Krautheimer, Bill Kristol, Ann Coulter, Dick Cheney, chest-beating and fake warrior against the world mentality is now a distinctly fringe American phenomenon, and yet the bulk of our American media is beholden to that group, takes its cues from it, and treats it like it defines the mainstream. Here's the next one. Republican strategist Blakeman says Pelosi gave aid and comfort to Assad, who is the president of Syria, and called her the Neville Chamberlain of our time. And that was on MSNBC News Live. And on the Today Show, Tim Russert, there's our friend Timmy again, good old butt plug, basically asserted that Democrats have difficulty being competitive on foreign policy issues. Ah, yes. And it all adds up. And in the meantime, the Republicans continue to get away with lie after lie after lie. And what that does is, because they make people, they try to drive the negatives of Democrats up, and they try to drive the negatives of government in general up to keep people away from the polls, so that when the elections come, things are just close enough for them to steal. 2006, I don't want to say it was a fluke, but the reason why it didn't work for them, because they were expecting to hold on to Congress, but the reason why they didn't was because there were a lot of people who were kind of in the middle were getting fed up with it. The people who were Category 3, the kinds who didn't realize they were being scammed, are starting to get the message. Excuse me, had to get a drink of water there. And what sickens me most is the amount of money these guys make. That's what sickens me the most. How much money does Tim Russert make? Does he make in the millions a year? The people who write the Wall Street Journal editorials, I'm sure they make well over six figures a year. You know, pay me that kind of money, I'll screw up just as badly as they can. If you want to talk about this, give me a call. The number to call and talk to me is 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We are about halfway through the show right now. So please give me a call. Talk to me about this so that I don't have to just chest feed on my own here. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Radio Network.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Spare me the mea culpas, but they've already started. The anguished posing of former Bush aides who've suddenly seen the error of their ways and are quickly now trying to wash their hands of all the disasters they helped construct. Last Sunday, the New York Times ran a front-page story on Matthew Dowd, who did ads for Bush in 2000 and was actually Bush's chief campaign strategist in 2004. Dowd is a professional chameleon, as he had to switch his party ID to Republican before he slithered onto the Bush bandwagon to Washington. He was impressed, he said, by Bush's talk of compassionate conservatism. Ah, whatever. He then used his scheming talents to sell Bush to the American public not once but twice. And now he tells us that he's troubled by Bush's response to Abu Ghraib and he's lost faith in the Iraq War. Well, it's a little late for that, isn't it? The Abu Ghraib scandal broke way before the 2004 elections, and the Iraq War had gone south by then as well. All the while, Matthew Dowd told Americans why they should vote for Bush. And now he's sorry? Look, some blood doesn't wash off, no matter how hard you try. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. We're halfway through already. Time flies when you're having fun, as they say. And I always have fun doing this show, despite having to get up so damn early in the morning to do it. As I mentioned at the beginning, I am simply not a morning person. But that's okay. I still manage to do the show, except for when my internet connection goes down, which has been happening from time to time. It's actually very clean today. I'm very happy for that. I don't know why it does that. Just every now and then, it just goes, you know, we're going to cut off right now. We're just going to stop. Like that. And it happened on Friday, and it happened on Thursday, I believe. It happened so bad that I couldn't even do the show. So, little notice in Daily Coast today. And this is something that I had talked about before, actually, on the show. And it has to do with the firing of the federal prosecutors, because, you know, for primarily political reasons, whether it was because they wouldn't go after Democrats hard enough or because the Bush people wanted to get one of their unqualified little cronies in there to pad up their resumes. And some of the prosecutors, the few that were honest, the category, I don't know if they were Category 2 or Category 3, but they assumed that their job as prosecutors was to do their job when, of course, you know, for as far as the Bush administration is concerned, their job as prosecutors is to support and defend the Republican Party and its policies, or the Bush administration in particular and its policies. But one of the things Karl Rove wanted to do, and one of the reasons why one of the bloggers was or lawyers was fired, was because he wouldn't go after election fraud, phony issues that they just wanted to play it up, partly to do the little lies thing, but partly to hurt Democrats. And there was a case in Wisconsin, and this was from McJoan on the Daily Coast website. It's the case of Steve Biskupic, who is a Wisconsin U.S. attorney who kept his job, hasn't really been in the radar in the prosecutor purge story since he wasn't, but he's been keeping tabs, but we've been keeping tabs, and found a report from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that bolsters the case that dirty electoral politics is the core issue in this. And let me read a little bit from the article here, and this is from a Talking Points memo, actually. And, you know, the bigger bloggers link to each other. That's kind of a steady thing. So for weeks, it was unclear who whined to the White House last year that not enough voter fraud cases were being prosecuted in Milwaukee. Now we know. The state Republican Party went straight to the top in its efforts to make voter fraud an issue in Wisconsin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, children and all little kids and all the ships at sea, let me make it very, very, very clear. When Republicans talk about voter fraud, what they mean is they don't want the darkies to vote. They don't want the Mexicans to vote. Of course, the reality is the Republicans do not believe in the democratic process. The Republicans do not believe in the idea of self-rule. The Republicans follow the conservative Constitution, the preamble of which states, We the rightful leaders of the world, as opposed to we the people, we the rightful leaders of the world. So therefore, they don't believe in the actual democratic process. Whereas Democrats, now granted, there's some, you know, finagling going around in there too, but the Democrats would prefer to make the voting process easier. They would prefer to make the voter registration process easier, and they would prefer to get more people on the rolls, because we honestly believe that the strength of our ideas is good enough that people will vote based upon that, and that the more people vote, the better for us. We honestly believe that, and I happen to believe that to a certain extent, but the voter fraud that is going on has to do with the electronic voting, which, as with the Bush administration, is unaccountable, done in secret, and usually full of lies. But anyway, to continue, it was there was a document called Fraud in Wisconsin 2004, a timeline summary, turned up last week in the hoard of White House and U.S. Justice Department records released by the House Judiciary Committee, which is investigating the firing of the U.S. attorneys. The report was prepared for Karl Rove, said a source with knowledge of the situation. Rick wanted it so he can give it to Karl Rove. So the head of the state party went to the political arm of the White House with a report supposedly documenting widespread abuse of election laws in Milwaukee, violating that the party clearly believed they weren't getting the attention they deserved. In late 2005, U.S. Attorney Steve Biskupic, a Bush appointee, announced that his probe found no evidence of a conspiracy in the 2004 election here. And Biskupic kept his job, but from all appearances, he was on thin ice. Now, last month, Bush spokeswoman Dana Perino said that beginning in mid-2004, the White House received complaints that federal prosecutors were not vigorously pursuing complaints of voter fraud in Philadelphia, New Mexico, and Milwaukee. Etc., etc., etc. And it's something that I pointed out. What about those people who didn't get fired? They're going to be bringing baseless accusations up against Democrats just for the sake of politics. And under the Justice Department, the Bush administration Justice Department, a Democrat is seven times more likely to be investigated than a Republican. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Democrats are, you know, clean as a whistle and they should never be investigated. That's ridiculous. But to have them investigated seven times more than Republicans, especially when the Republicans have been doing the great bulk of the corruption since they've been controlling the government and they control all the purse strings until, you know, 2006. That should be pretty clear to people that something's not up. That should be pretty clear that something is up. Did I say not up before? See, this is what happens when your brain cells aren't firing properly. And my brain cells are not firing properly today. They haven't been firing properly for the last 2 weeks. Actually, I'm not sure they've been firing properly since I was born. I think I was born with a brain defect, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe that's why I became a Democrat. Actually, I don't consider myself a Democrat as much as I consider myself a liberal, but that's another story. But it's obvious to me, and it's been obvious for a while, apart from Republicans being a-holes, which they are, and which they have been since as long as I've been politically aware, that these guys basically want to be like the Communist Party. They want a one-party state. They want to completely destroy the Democratic Party. They want to destroy any kind of opposition so that they can get the kind of world they want to live in, a world where you and I, ladies and gentlemen, little children and all the ships at sea, are basically slaves to them. Because when it comes right down to it, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, as far as the Republican leadership is concerned, as far as the Bush administration is concerned, as far as their financial backers are concerned, we are not human. And I am going to keep repeating this point until we understand what we're up against. And to those on the left who have the financial wherewithal to help fight this, and who haven't used it because they're afraid, you know, maybe somebody will say something bad, you know what? The Republican Party will take your money anyway. Now, our good friend Ray Hinckley is saying that the Republicans are about to wipe out their own party, hopefully. And I hope that's the truth, Ray. Ray is speaking that in the Head On Radio Network chat room. Because, you know, I've said this before, too, and I said it a while ago. I haven't said it in a while. You know, these guys are going to go too far because too far is the only place they can go. The only thing they excel at is getting money and power, but the only thing they know how to do with it once they get it is to get more. And eventually, they're going to overstep. And I personally thought they would have overstepped with the whole war thing, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. And enough people said, this doesn't sound right to me. Maybe this is not a good deal. And in the 2008 elections, assuming, you know, if there were free and fair elections, and that's the thing, you know, when you talk about a voter fraud, let's talk about a real election fraud with the deep old machines, okay? If there had been free and fair elections in the 2006 elections, the Democratic majority wouldn't be razor thin. It would be unbelievably huge. I believe that if there were free and fair elections in this country, the Republicans would maybe have 20 seats in the House right now, if they would get that much. And they would have maybe three or four senators. Well, it couldn't be three or four. Well, yeah, it could be three or four. They don't have three or four senators. Hang on a second. The Republicans operate on the ideology that all government is wrong, all government is bad, all government is evil, and that everything the private industry does is well and above board, and that's just a bunch of crap. What's even more of a bunch of crap is the fact that we have to take our last break. Let's go ahead and do that, and I've ran on around the time here. If you want to call in, 1-877-443-2366. Your last chance. It's your last chance for today to get on in. But we'll be back with the final segment here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
The following is a Head-On Radio Network special announcement. Ha ha, I'm back! That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
The following disaster recovery announcement is presented by the LSU Ag Center. Until your water supply has been certified safe to drink, consider all sources, both public and private, to be unsafe sources. Drink only commercially bottled water or water you purify yourself. Boil water for 10 minutes to make sure it's safe. You can also purify water chemically by adding 8 drops of household chlorine bleach per gallon of water. Let the water stand for 30 minutes. If it remains cloudy or colored, add 8 more drops per gallon for a total of 16 drops per gallon. You can also use special tablets to purify your water. These can be purchased at your local drugstore or sporting goods store. For additional information, contact the LSU Ag Center.
Did you know the University of Nebraska is a virtual world leader in the field of distance education? And that they bring highly interactive learning right into the homes of students in all 93 Nebraska counties, all 50 states, and 135 countries around the world using the latest computer website technology? I guess the lesson here is, no matter where you live, there's no place like Nebraska. The University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
This is the Head-On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, we're back. All right. I just like that little nice little bit there. Last 10 minutes of the show. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, before I continue on with what I'm talking about, since we didn't run the spot for today, let me go ahead and say that if you want to purchase an ad on the Cup of Joe Radio Show, you can do so if you email me at joe@cupjoe.com. And a radio ad is a good investment, and they can be had for as little as $5 a spot if you buy them in bulk. And the actually, even the most you're going to pay is $10 a slot. And that's for five. That's for five ads. You get the five ads at $10 each, and that's actually a pretty decent price when you consider how much they're charging on regular radio. So if you wanna get in on that, just email me joe@cupjoe.com, and as I say in the spot, let internet radio work for you, in that sense. Anyway. Let me continue on with what I was talking about. Where was I? You know, I was discussing the attorney firing thing and all the other things that's going on. By the way, I just heard that Sam Cedar is leaving Air America Radio, and again, it's just depressing because, you know, I don't listen to radio, talk radio all that much, and I'll be perfectly honest in saying that. And people ask, you know, why? Well, you're a radio talk show host. Why don't you listen to talk radio very much at all? And there's actually a couple of reasons for that. Number one is when I listen to it, I just get so upset about stuff that I tend to want to throw things. And number two, that I generally really don't have a lot of time to listen to stuff. I mean, somebody once asked John Lennon about you know, what type of music that he liked to listen to. And he said, well, I really don't have the time to listen to radio and stuff like that. I'm so busy with doing my own work. Although he did go on to say that he did like the old-style rock and roll music of the 50s and stuff that he, you know, 40s and 50s, that he grew up with. You know, the rockabilly stuff, Buddy Holly, things like that. But no, I really don't listen to a lot. But Sam Cedar, from what I understand, was one of the better parts of Air America Radio. If I remember correctly, he was a co-host with Janine Garofalo, and they kind of had a falling out, and then Janine left the station, and now Al Franken is gone. And you knew Al Franken wasn't going to stay there very long, you know. But Sam Cedar's, his last show will be Friday, apparently, and we're going to miss him. And I'm glad to hear, by the way, that Guy James is staying with us here on the Head On Network. We had thought that there was a rumor going around that we were going to lose him for a while, at least as far as a radio personality. And I am very, very happy that he stayed around, because we need guys like Guy James. But Sam Cedar was apparently fairly popular, and of course, naturally, they got to get rid of him. And this is the problem with the left. They don't understand it. I've talked about this with Carol Kay. I've talked about this with Bob Kincaid. I've talked about it with Agnes Kincaid. I've talked about this with other people. They have absolutely no clue. I was talking with Bob Kincaid before the show. And by the way, Bob is producing the show today, taking over for Alice, who's Alex. Say it right. Agnes. Ugh. This is what happens when you get up in the morning. Taking over for Agnes, who's getting a good morning's rest for a change. But I was, you know, I have my second job is to do a little work for a local progressive lawyer, and it, you know, it earns me a couple $100 here and there. You know, nothing set, nothing fancy, just kind of freelance work on an as needed basis. But I haven't had anything since elections are concerned. And I was getting a bunch of work before the election. Now I'm pretty much getting not much of anything, and actually nothing since February. And you know, Bob was just kind of shaking his head. I couldn't see him, but you know that you can just see him do that. And it's like they think, you know, he's right. He says, you know, we have this attitude where we have to advertise like crazy for 6 weeks before an election, but we don't lay this foundation in between. Which, you know, the Republicans are always doing that. The little lies and all the other things that they do, they're 24/7, and we have to be that way, and we don't understand that. And a lot of the limousine liberals, the people with the big bucks, they just give it all to a consultant or some other BS and let it go with that. Now, Ray Hinckley is pointing out that Al Franken is running for the Senate, and which is true, he is, but you knew he wasn't going to last very long as a talk show host either, because Al Franken is not a talk show host. Al Franken was never a talk show host before. And talk show hosts, you know, you have to have some longevity if you really, really want to get going. If Rush Limbaugh had quit, you know, 2 or 3 years, and now we'd be in much better shape, right? But that's what he does. Al Franken was one of the best comedy writers on Saturday Night Live, and a very funny comedian in his own right. Although I think he got much funnier later on. His early stuff I don't think was anywhere near as funny when he was doing with Tom Davis. Franken and Davis, they used to do these really, really bad little skits. But he got funnier later on. But he was a head writer for Saturday Night Live for many, many years. And he's a funny guy. He wrote some very, very good books. Rush Limbaugh's A Big Fat Idiot, I think, is one of them. The fair and balanced thing, the story he tells about the lawsuit Fox tried to throw on him. And but, you know, he wasn't going to last. And that's the shame. And they threw a ton of money at him. And they didn't have to because he's already got millions of dollars. He could have worked for minimum. Hire me. Somebody hire me. I'll do it for $50,000 a year, for crying out. That's more money than I've ever made in my life. Will I ever be as good as Al Franken? Well, you know. If I was making enough money where I can concentrate on the show 24/7, then you know, I could be much better than what I am right now, which is kind of sucky, I admit. Because, you know, when I finish here, I've got to get ready. I've got to make sure I go to work. I got to look for apartments. I got to try to find another job because my current job sucks. You know, I've got other issues going on. Just like with Bob Kincaid and Agnes Kincaid, they've got other issues going on. Just like John Fox, who's going to be coming up right after me in a few minutes, he's got other issues going on. And the reason why we all have other issues going on is because we have to earn a living. And we're not earning a living doing the show. And the people with the money on the left who could help out simply don't. And that's why we have trouble. And that's why the Republicans dominate the airwaves. Because they're perfectly willing to lay out the money to do stuff. American Spectator magazine, many years ago, was losing subscribers, was doing very badly, losing money, but you know what? They continued to fund it because they wanted to get the idea out. Rush Limbaugh, regardless of what the ratings are, and there are places where his ratings are not that great, the advertisers still keep paying for it. Why? Because they're interested in getting the message out. They're spreading that anti-government, anti-American message. And make no bones about it, they are anti-American. They're against everything that the Founding Fathers stood for. They are the people the Founding Fathers formed the government to stop. And trust me, if they had formed a different type of government, it would have been a lot easier for them to take over. As it is, it's taken them 30 years and massive amounts of money. But the point of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just sitting here whining about it because it's frustrating every now and then to come out here and bust your ass 5 days a week trying to spread a little truth, knowing that your time doing it could be limited simply because you don't have the resources. And there's no excuse for that. There's absolutely no excuse for that. At any rate, I don't want to sound like I'm whining too much. You know, I would do this anyway because I feel compelled to do it, as I've said time and time again. All of us here on the Head On Network, we do this because we feel compelled to do this. And we do try to reach out tendrils of, you know, saying, hey, you know, we're out here, maybe we can use a little help, you know, and we just get rebuffed. We just get rebuffed. So, if you want to help out, you can buy an ad. That's not a donation, that's not something for nothing. Buy an ad. It doesn't cost very much. You can $50, you can get 1 week's worth of ads. Once a day. 60-second ad, that's pretty good. And it's all for a good cause. But at any rate, it's time to wrap up. Show's almost over. An hour goes by so quickly these days, it's just remarkable. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network, the great Bob Kincaid running the board today out in the studios in West Virginia. And that's the wonderful miracle of the internets, where it's so remote. We're there out in West Virginia. I'm here in Chicago, and John Fox is following me up as in Australia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. Foxed Up with John Fox is up next here on all of your Head On Radio Network stations. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, hey, get back to work. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll dip a mug of Doug with the
This is the Quality News Network. Iran announced today it has stepped up production of enriched uranium. The UN Security Council has demanded Tehran abandon such enrichment, which can be used for either nuclear power or a nuclear weaponry program. Iraq is commemorating today the toppling of the Saddam Hussein regime. Tens of thousands of Shia are demonstrating in Najaf, protesting the presence of U.S. and other foreign soldiers on Iraqi soil. Security is tight in Baghdad. There's a 24-hour ban on all vehicles in the capital city starting this morning. The Pentagon announced 10 U.S. soldiers were killed over the weekend, 6 of them on Sunday. Sectarian violence in the past 2 days killed 65 Iraqis and wounded another 29. Nearly 60% of Americans want Congress to vote for legislation withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq by August 2008. And that's according to the latest Pew poll. 7 NATO-Canadian soldiers were killed yesterday in separate incidents in Afghanistan. 3 others were wounded. In Seoul, an American delegation today was told UN inspectors would be permitted to visit North Korea's nuclear facilities as soon as the U.S. returns 25 million North Korean funds frozen in a Macau bank. A February agreement calls on Pyongyang to shut down its main reactor by Saturday. In Greece, the captain and 5 crewmen from the cruise ship that sank near Santorini last week have been charged with negligence. 1,600 passengers and crew were evacuated before the vessel sank. 730 Americans were aboard. 2 French tourists remain missing. China, Sudan's most influential ally, is demanding the Sudanese government demonstrate more tolerance.